your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you?
Good. We missed you last week. We're so happy we can do Spaced Out.
Ah, yes. I'm back.
Awesome. I'm so glad. There's a lot to talk about today. There is an asteroid we have to address. I did see this, actually. I feel it's kind of been making the rounds in the headlines, eh?
Yeah, this is probably the most prolific story the last few weeks.
So tell me, like, what the sitch is with this asteroid. Are we worried about it?
Yeah. So, end of last year, astronomers basically discovered a new asteroid. Pretty small. It's about 50 to 100 meters. But it was a new asteroid, so we studied it a bit. We basically found out that the current orbital path, so the path that's taking around the sun, it gives that asteroid about a 2.3% chance of hitting the Earth in 2032, which, yeah, it's kind of really the highest risk of a, discovered asteroid that we've had in decades.
Mm.
And it's, I think for a lot of people it's a bit of a reminder that there are asteroids out there, and often we find them, sometimes we don't find them, and in this case we found an asteroid that could potentially hit the Earth, so there is a very small chance.
But it's a very small chance, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, 2.3%, so it's very low statistically, but okay. I think, when you think of all the asteroids that we do know of, we don't know of any others that are on, potentially collision courses with Earth, especially to that percentage. And the problem with the asteroid at the moment is because it is decently small, it's currently moving away from us, so we're not really going to know much about it until it kind of comes a little bit closer in 2028. So that's actually going to give astronomers a chance to study it more and to actually understand what is the chances of an impact. So we probably have to wait a few years until we kind of really know the risk.
Right. There is a lot of, I'm looking at this article that you've sent through, there's a lot of diagrams of like high uncertainty, low uncertainty. Like, it must take quite a while to figure out. And I feel like, the probability must shift quite a lot depending on where it is, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, these numbers, they're never, final numbers. And we never have an exact number of, what is the probability of this hitting us? Because, I think when we first discovered it, it was like a 1.3% chance. But, we revised the data and now it's gone up to 2.3. And, when we revise it again in a few years in 2028, it might go up, but it could also go down. We just kind of don't really know. But, it's just a reminder that, asteroids are a pretty real risk for the Earth.
Mm-hmm. And so an asteroid this size, like, do we have any idea of what that would mean if it did collide with us?
Yeah, it's definitely not catastrophic. I think often when you think of an asteroid, you think of like the dinosaurs, right?
Yes.
But the asteroid that kind of devastated the dinosaurs was, like 10 kilometers across. So we're talking about an asteroid that's 50 to 100 meters.
Okay.
So it's not an extinction level event, but it would absolutely cause damage if it was to fall over a populated area. But the thing with that is because we will know where it's going to land much closer to the date. If it is over a city, we can evacuate. We have plans. So it's definitely not a massive risk.
I also, this might be kind of ignorant of me, but I also just kind of thought that asteroids, if they were coming close to Earth, we could just like shoot some shit up and maybe it would like push it off course.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We do have that technology, and NASA did that a couple of years ago with their DART mission. They smashed into an asteroid and they moved its core. So we have that technology, but the problem is often, A, they're very, very expensive, so you'd need funding and all that, and B, often it takes a lot of time. So, once the asteroid comes closer back in a couple of years in 2028, if we do then, realize there is a very high chance of impact and we do decide to, deflect that asteroid, we might not have enough time to actually build the spacecraft to get everything ready and just to send it up within 4 years, which, sounds like a lot of time, but often in space exploration, these things can take like 5, 10, 15 years to plan and then build and send up and all that stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right. Well, we'll just have to stay tuned and see what happens with this asteroid.
We will see.
In other news, a little bit less exciting and thrilling than an asteroid, Boeing is having to potentially lay off a whole bunch of staff. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is, again, related to the Trump administration.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but basically, NASA's big moon rocket called SLS is basically built by Boeing, so they contract Boeing to build these rockets, and that's for the Artemis missions to go to the moon. But yeah, Boeing basically last week put a letter out to staff and said it's very likely that we're going to be laying off about 400 people work on this rocket, which is a big chunk of their workforce. And, you know, it's very likely that this is kind of the beginning of the Trump administration and, in turn, Elon Musk actually cancelling that rocket for NASA and basically diverting a lot of their resources into SpaceX's rockets, which is Elon Musk's company. So, yeah, I think we're kind of starting to already see the effects of the new administration with NASA.
Oh, that's so sad. I mean, I guess all of these people as well, like, it must be such specialized jobs and skill sets that it's not super easy to find a job if you get laid off, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, it literally is rocket science, right? So these are highly skilled and trained people, but yeah, to lay off 400 people and then to you know, not kind of essentially just waste resources, because that rocket is really expensive and it's been, you know, being built for decades at this point. And it's what you'd call like a jobs program. It was kind of designed initially to employ people. So yeah, you also have to think about like the human element of, you know, hundreds of people losing their jobs, potentially thousands, you know, down the line, depending on, you know, the direction this goes.
Like the knock-on effects of it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear. Okay. Something tells me that we're going to see a whole lot more of this continue to happen, eh?
Yeah, I think it's just the beginning, unfortunately.
Oh dear. Okay, we'll just have to stay tuned to Trump and all of his BS and how it affects space. But now we turn to Saturn. And when I read this headline, I was a little bit devastated, and then it was like, oh, okay. Saturn's beautiful rings are not actually vanishing.
Yes.
But there's a little optical illusion happening in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, so this is, you're totally right, actually. It's more of an optical illusion. But yeah, in March, so next month, from our perspective on Earth, basically it's what we call a plane ring crossing, where basically the angle of Saturn's rings aligns with the Earth, and they essentially disappear. So they become invisible. We cannot see them because the rings themselves of Saturn are actually quite thin. They're very wide and very bright, but, you know, edge on, it's kind of like looking at a flat piece of paper, like it's almost impossible to see. So yeah, we're going to get this kind of rare occurrence of Saturn losing its iconic rings, which only happens about every 15 years.
Okay, 15 years though. I feel like often you hear about stuff that happens in space and it's like once every 100 million years, but
yeah.
15 years, okay. We're going to see it again in 15 years, but it will be quite cool, I guess, once it vanishes and then they come back. I feel people will be really excited, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no real, like, astronomical significance. It's just really, like, an optical illusion. But it is just cool. You know, you think of Saturn, and it's famous, and it's so well-known for its amazing rings. So to see it without its rings, it kind of looks, like, really boring and not as cool, which, yeah, just goes to show. It's like, you know, if you imagine if Mars wasn't red, or, you know, if Jupiter didn't have its great storm, these things that we all know about these planets. So it's just quite cool to see them just vanish for a week or two.
Yeah, the little diagram where it sees, where you see Saturn and it's got no rings, I feel like I'm looking at it naked or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you can't even recognize the planet without its rings. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Well, we'll have to stay tuned to see Saturn's rings disappear and then come back. It should be very dramatic. Thank you so much, Josh. Always a pleasure to talk about what's happening out in that galaxy of ours. We'll be hearing from you very soon.
Awesome. I'll speak to you next week.
Cool. Thanks so much, Josh. Have a good one.
Thank you, too. You too.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.